It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
And welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years. This evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time, and that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, October the 9th, 2022, and I'm psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel, and we are back live from beautiful Austin, Texas, and we have another great program in store for you today. Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this program, is here with us as usual to make the show run smoothly. And in a little while after the break, we'll be joined by Bill Davis of the Single Payer Action Network in Ohio. And Bill will discuss Medicare for All. What is it? What are the benefits? And how about some of our concerns about it? Bill will break it all down for us. And then we'll get to hear the twins in Bay of Vendettas, Mexico, Minerva and Ruben, and they'll be taking us to another Mexico travel destination, one of the most populated cities in the world, Mexico City. And along the way, I'll talk a little bit more about the journey of living a passionate life and dealing with the critics along our path. After the show, you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, and the link to the podcast along with any website links that we discuss on the program will be posted. And you can hear the podcast in as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to blogtalkradio.com, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And you'll also be able to hear it on Apple Podcasts right after the show. And for information from previous programs, to listen to previous programs, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com. You can also hear it all on blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And all of the shows since we started on Blog Talk Radio are posted on Apple Podcasts. And for upcoming shows and events, follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. This show is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by amightygoodtime.com. Wondering what to do after you're 50? How about having a mighty good time? It's free to search, free to post, and much more. Whether it's in person or virtual, anything can be found to fill your day connecting with others. So be more active, start connecting with other people, and go to amightygoodtime.com. That's amightygoodtime.com. All right, so we're going to take a brief break. It's going to be very brief, so don't go anywhere, because when we come back, Bill Davis will be right here to discuss Single Payer Action Network, which many know as Medicare for All. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super Psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors. Dr. Mara's book, The Passionate Life, Creating Vitality and Joy at Any Age, is now available on Kindle and in paperback at Amazon. Don't forget to listen to Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years live from Austin, Texas, every Sunday on blogtalkradio.com.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us on the phone is Bill Davis of the Single Payer Action Network to talk about what some might call Medicare for All or universal health care, and he will break it down for us. Welcome, Bill.
Well, good afternoon, Mara. I'm really pleased to be here today. And this is an issue that is getting kicked around all over the place now, and it's become more popular, and we're getting more a little more press, and it's good to be able to share with your listeners. The Single Payer Action Network Ohio is the group that has been around for 20 years now, and it was formed by some physicians that belong to the Physicians for a National Health Program, and we support Medicare for All, but Medicare for All is really a shorthand for a single payer system that is not Medicare, but an improved replacement for Medicare that would not require any supplement or advantage plans to make up the difference. Okay, the Medicare has parts A and B, and C and D and E and F and G, and it's crazy. But what we want to do is just replace Medicaid and CHIP and all the many disjointed programs that serve different groups that have friends in Congress to make sure that everyone is covered.
Okay.
It's comprehensive. Go ahead.
No, I just want to remind you there's a little bit of a delay, so that might be an issue, just a half a second. But I wanted to ask to clarify that a bit. So Medicare for All, that's how people know it as, right? Medicare for All. It's not actually through Medicare. That's just the slang that's used. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, Medicare for All is just kind of the shorthand for a new and improved placement for what we know today as Medicare. Some people hear Medicare for All and they say, well, why would I want that? Medicare is great. And it for what it does, it is great. But it does require a supplement or some kind of a gap policy. And that's at an additional cost. And so what we want to do is lower the costs or eliminate costs for anybody as far as out-of-pocket goes when it comes time to go and see a doctor. Okay, we don't want to have cost of any amount to be a barrier to care. And
okay.
That's what we're aiming for.
So since it's not actually Medicare, officially Medicare, that it seems like maybe some of the concerns people have with issues, that they have with Medicare might not be an issue with this single payer plan. So, for example, you and I had a conversation on the phone a while back, and I was saying that I'm a Medicare provider as a psychologist, and not all providers are equally compensated. So like a psychiatrist gets paid a different amount. They get different compensation than a psychologist with a PhD, and our pay as a provider hasn't gone up. In fact, it's gone down over the last 20 years so that many psychologists cannot afford to fill their practice with Medicare patients. Otherwise, they would go bankrupt. So it sounds like if it's not really Medicare, it's a completely different type of insurance, but that might not be an issue. Is that right, that it would be more of a fair compensation for the providers?
Absolutely. Providers would be more fairly compensated. Some of the specialties, or not specialties, but primary care physicians seem to be undervalued in our present system. And you know, we want to make sure that everybody has access to primary care, and so there would be incentives to get more medical students into, you know, in primary care. And I'm sure there are a lot of, well, there are so many different aspects. I mean, this is just a huge, huge, you know, list of things that have to be considered. But in general, you know, there would be an improvement in reimbursements. And we would have one system with reimbursements based on geographic regions, because there are differences in the cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would all be worked out, but it would be a schedule, a fee schedule based on the region, and every profession would be compensated adequately.
Okay.
And you know,
okay,
that was a question that came up in Canada, and they seem satisfied enough with the way they're being paid at the rates that they're getting. So
right.
I don't think it's as much of a concern, except maybe for some of the surgeons that are replacing hips all the time, and you know, they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe close to $1 million, and that may not be be able to be sustained.
Mm-hmm.
Just as an example.
So let's talk about that. You know, a lot of people have concerns about the cost of this and talk about sustainability. How would this be paid for?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of people ask, can we afford universal coverage? And absolutely, yes. We already pay enough for health care for all. We just don't get it. Americans already have the highest health spending in the world, but we get less care from doctors and in the hospitals than people in many other industrialized countries, because we pay for health care through a patchwork of private insurance companies. About a third of our health care spending goes to administration. And replacing private insurers with a national health program would recover money currently squandered on billing, marketing, underwriting, and other activities that sustain insurers' profits but divert resources from care. This amount may be a little dated now, but potential savings from eliminating the waste have been estimated at $500 billion per year. Combined with what we're already spending, this is more than enough to provide comprehensive coverage for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, listeners out there have had this experience. I've had the experience, and I'm self-insured because I am self-employed, so I don't have an employer paying for my insurance. So I pay quite a bit for insurance, and it seems as though it's a good insurance at the time that I purchase it, but I learned different about a year and a half ago when I fell and broke my arm, and turned out that my insurance didn't cover quite a bit of the expenses, and I had to pay as an uninsured patient. The hospital, the emergency room, and some of the medical care, the imaging, x-rays, MRI, that kind of thing, they actually charged me as an uninsured patient so that I wouldn't have to pay the full amount because it was so high, and my insurance came back and said, sorry, we don't cover that. For a simple broken bone, you know, most people think, oh, I have insurance, I'm going to go to the emergency room, I'll be covered.
Yeah, it's a shocking reality in many cases. People are finding that, you know, if they I mean, you know, there's an awful lot of fine print and a lot of pages of it in insurance contracts, and people don't usually realize that they're underinsured until they have to dig in and see who's going to pay the bill when they start getting the statements. And that's certainly a huge concern for advocates. You know, we feel like, you know, anybody that doesn't want Medicare for all just doesn't know that much about it. And they've made assumptions, like they assume that their insurance through their employer is going to cover them for whatever they need. And, you know, 50 years ago, that might have been true, but there's just been so many nuances added to these contracts that people end up losing. And it's... Mm-hmm. It's really criminal.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting because you think that you've gotten the whole bill and suddenly you get all the other bills that every single person that showed up in that room is sending you a different bill. So you have the emergency room. Now you have to, You're like,
well,
okay, that's a lot of money.
That's why there's so much waste and so much administrative cost that can be recovered by replacing the insurance companies, is because all these different procedures and supplies that are used in providing care have one price if it's Medicare and another price if it's Medicaid. But where Medicaid has been privatized to a degree and you've got a half a dozen different insurers writing Medicaid mm-hmm. policies, all the different Medicaids aren't the same either. So you've got and then all the private insurance contracts that are bought by employers or by individuals through the marketplace with the ACA, all have different prices for the procedures that are available. And it just makes it an accounting nightmare and very, mm-hmm. very difficult to deal with, very expensive. Mm-hmm. It's so complex, it makes it very expensive.
Right, right. And honestly, I used to be a Medicare and Medicaid provider, and I had to drop Medicaid because they privatized and had so many different companies that I pay someone to do my application and credentialing because it takes so much time. It would have cost me more to credential for each of the companies than I would have been paid to see clients through those different Medicaid companies.
I think find a lot of savings involved by that too. If you have just one payer, you don't have to deal with credentialing for many insurance companies, like you mentioned.
Mhm, mhm. And it's, you know, people don't realize it's not simple. It takes a long time. It takes a lot of hours to do all that credentialing, and there aren't enough hours in the week to do that and also see people. How did COVID over the past 2.5 years, how did that affect our insurance and our awareness of the weak spots of our healthcare system?
Well, COVID, the seriousness of it has, or the volume of it, has diminished some because of the effectiveness of vaccines and people, practicing good habits of wearing masks and staying out of places that there's a lot of people indoors and that sort of thing. But, you know, we're starting to see that the insurance companies have made, and the hospitals have made a great deal of money, a lot more profit than you would have expected. That's kind of ironic, but they really haven't I mean, they were given a lot of money to help them weather this pandemic storm, and they've needed it in a lot of cases. But it seems like there's been a lot of profits being made as well. And the sad part about this is that the COVID money was only temporary. You know, this, like, we have this is a sick care non-system that we have, okay, of programs. And there were programs passed by Congress that covered this period of COVID. And those programs are running out. And so the amounts of money that were being infused into the medical system are stopping, and it's causing problems. Hospitals are still closing. And services in hospitals that aren't closing are being terminated. We had a local hospital that has ceased offering maternity care. And so anybody that is ready to have a baby needs to somehow make sure that they can get to a delivery room in the time. I mean, it just Mother Nature doesn't always go on the timeline required
right.
for people to drive to a hospital, you know. So it's I'm so happy that my fathering days are over and I don't have to worry about these problems taking my wife where she needs to be when she needs to be there for
mm-hmm.
care. It's just unfathomable. So, but there are a lot of things going on related to that. And with the COVID money running out, the hospitals are throwing up their arms and they're laying off people and they're closing facilities and services. And I really don't follow that extremely closely, but I think, you know, the generalities that I've shared can be searched, and, you know, people will find what they find. And I think that, you know, they'll see what the problem is. And we just need to pay for care in a different way. And cutting out the insurance companies seems like the most logical way. There are over 30 countries, mostly in Europe, I think, that have universal health care. And most of them have single-payer systems. The ones that don't have single-payer systems may do some of the privatization-type things that we are doing here with insurance companies managing Medicaid and Medicare in places. And all that depends on states, what state you're in. But the thing is that in these other countries, the regulations are written pretty tight so that these insurance companies have to offer policies that are comprehensive. And in other words, they provide all the care, all necessary medical care, whether it's in a doctor or in a hospital setting or in a dental office or an optometry or hearing care provider.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get away with the kind of stuff that the insurance companies here get away with. And
right.
And all
so
of this is
kinda
part of it's money and politics.
Yeah, so I know that, you know, if you go through an insurance company to get, you know, a procedure, your insurance company can say, no, we're not going to pay for that procedure. You're going to have to take a cheaper procedure or cheaper
right.
treatment. Would that be something that would be better with a single payer, that you would get the type of treatment that you really need and not take the lesser one because it's less expensive?
Absolutely. I believe that with your own experience, you probably understand that Medicare is a lot less invasive in the relationship you have with your patients than the insurance companies are. And the relationship, without all these private insurance companies that are driven by maximizing profit, and so they dream up new ways of interfering with medical decisions, that just denies and delays care and makes them more money. You know, all that would be eliminated.
How about choice? I know that was a big issue when, you know, when we went to the Affordable Care Act, that people were concerned about losing their favorite doctors. Would this affect that?
Well, the funny part is you know, the industry runs their propaganda ads about freedom to choose. But the irony is that you don't really have any freedom at all now, because if you're working and your employer provides care, he signs up with who's going to give him the best deal. And, you know, that's not something that the employees have anything to do with unless they're represented by a good union that can do some of that negotiating for them. The choice is, if your employer is huge enough so that they can offer multiple plans, you might be able to choose between a couple of their different plans. But those plans all have networks of, in a lot of cases, networks of providers, and Medicare Advantage plans are like that. You know, if you want to get an Advantage plan, you need to check and make sure that your doctor's in the network. And otherwise, you may not be able to keep your doctor. And so really the choice comes down to, if you have single payer, all the doctors are involved in that.
Maybe
5% of them won't be, you know, but that frees patients to go to any doctor they want. You know, they're not constrained by the networks that have been concocted by the insurance companies.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
So, somebody else making a choice of what insurance companies you can use, you know, you have the choice of any provider you want.
So if people are interested, I mean, there's a lot of information out there about this. You know, the actual factual information rather than the lies that are told by insurance companies to, you know, keep people scared of moving into something like this. What would be the best way for people to find the accurate information?
Well, you're right. There's a tremendous amount of information, and depending on the number of volunteers that some of these organizations have, the information that they have is you know, kept more up to date than others. But I think, you know, like the Physicians for National Health Program has PNHP.org is their website, and they have a list of member resources, including a film room, which has a list of videos that are excellent. And there's another group called Business Leaders for Healthcare Transformation. And that was started back around 2015. Richard Master came to a single payer conference in Chicago in 2015, and he gave out hundreds of DVDs for us to use in organizing and to help explain what the issues are. And he's made a few more videos since, and I would recommend people in business to check out Business Leaders for Healthcare Transformation. It has a lot of good resources. And then, of course, Health Span Ohio has a .org website that has a great deal of information on it. And Healthcare Now is another national partner that that is running a census this year. We wanted to talk with 10,000 people across the country by the end of the year to get a good feel for where the trouble spots are and how they feel about the healthcare we have and how much better it could be.
Okay.
And then, of course, you're in Austin. I'll mention one more site here. HCFAT is healthcareforalltexas.org. And, the people down in your state could get information from them.
Okay. I'm going to be posting all of those sites on my website post about this show later tonight. So if listeners want to find out more information, they can just go to my website later tonight and all of that will be there. So thank you.
That's great.
For all those resources. I will be posting that.
Well, terrific. I appreciate that a lot, and I have my contact information there. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, that would certainly be my pleasure to answer questions, or if some of those resources maybe have a dead link, or somebody moved something, we
okay.
can try to find the correction.
Okay.
For that.
What is your contact information in case people are listening and they want to write it down?
Well, my email is wndavis. That's William Nancy Davis, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
ACM. That's American Country Music. Remember that one, .org.
Okay.
Well, it's not American Country Music.
Right.
And then on Twitter, I'm at WN Davis.
Okay.
And LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn.com/in/WNDII.
Okay. So I will post all of that as well.
Great.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on the show and opening up this conversation. Maybe as time goes on, we could have you back on and talk about progress that's being made and, what's happening in moving towards this. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. I have, if we have just a minute, I'd like to mention that the legislation that's in Congress has, the Jayapal bill has 121 co-sponsors. That's the most ever. And then Bernie Sanders' bill in the Senate has 14 co-sponsors. So things are happening, but, I'm seeing more advertising about how nice the healthcare companies are, and of course they're just trying to scare us into thinking that they can handle it all when they haven't been handling it well at all.
Right.
So, thank you so much. I really
okay.
appreciate the time we've had together tonight.
Yes, same here. Thank you, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you very much.
Have good a night. Good evening. Bye bye. All right, we're going to take a brief break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240. Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell and your golden years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmaracarpell.com. And that was very interesting. It's, you know, people don't really know that much about what is this Medicare for All. And I think that it's really important because I'm not the only one who has experienced the downfalls of health insurance from both sides, as a provider and as a consumer. And I think that we could do a lot better than that. All right. So I want to continue with the conversation that I've been having about living a passionate life. And last week we were talking about, I was talking about compassion and generosity and how that really is of great benefit to finding our own passion and joy and the actual health benefits to ourselves and mental health benefits of acting with compassion and joy and volunteering and committing kind acts. And then, you know, previously I talked about engaging in creative behavior, even if creative acts, even if it's not the thing, even if it's not what you feel is your passion, but just being creative opens you up to what is your passion and what is your purpose. And I talked about taking care of yourself and having self-compassion as an important part of the process, and spending time meditating or walking in nature or just being quiet, what your heart is telling you, what it is that you really want to do, what is your passion, because we often don't hear our own heart. And then as we are moving along on our passionate journey, living our passionate life, or looking to find our passion and exploring, we will no doubt come across critics. It's just the way that it is. When you start to live a passionate life, when you start to do things differently than the pattern that you had been engaging in your life up to that point, people around you start to feel suspicious or jealous or worried about you, or they just don't like it because now you're forcing them to feel like they need to do something different. And they will start criticizing you. And sometimes the criticism comes from the people who care about you most, and sometimes it comes from people who don't even know you and are just being unpleasant and trying to keep you from moving ahead. There's a quote that I like to repeat, but from the author Scott Stable, who wrote the book Big Love: The Power of Living with a Wide Open Heart, and he wrote, "Don't worry if you're making waves simply by being yourself. The moon does it all the time." I like that one because when we start to live our passion, we really are getting in touch with our authentic, true self. And sometimes we're afraid to do that because we might make waves and, you know, people might not like it, and we want everybody to like us. But the fact is that no matter what you do, you will never have everybody like you. And you cannot live your passion at the same time as worrying about who likes you and who doesn't. And the other thing that is pretty crazy is very often our own enemy is ourselves, that we are our worst critic. We say things to ourselves that other people wouldn't even say to us, that we would never say to our worst enemy. I like to call that inner critic the inner troll. And that inner troll, it's very hard to get rid of that voice. The goal is to just laugh it off and not pay attention to it, and to kind of have it muted. So some of the ways of taming that inner critic is by treating yourself like you are worthy, even if that voice is telling you that you're not. Doing things to take care of yourself, showing yourself compassion, doing some of the things that I've talked about earlier in this discussion in the past few weeks, taking breaks to walk in nature, taking time to just be, eating healthy food, getting plenty of sleep, engaging in creative activities, doing things that you enjoy. All of those things are ways of treating yourself like you're worthy. And the more that you do that, the more you'll start to believe that you are worthy, and that inner troll will start to be more quiet. Also, surround yourself with positive people, people who are very positive about life and who are positive about you. That all helps us to feel that we are worthy and that it's worth taking this journey toward a more passionate life. And stop listening to the negativity of other people. There are going to be other people who are just negative about everything. And maybe you just need to say thank you for that and just keep doing what you're doing. And have a sense of humor, even about your own mistakes. If we can laugh at ourselves, that is extremely powerful at being able to overcome that inner critic. So I wrote a blog recently that I think is related to this, and you can find it on my website, Dr. Mara Karpel, if you go to the blog page. It's also on Medium, if you look up my name, and it's on Savannah East, which is like they sell yoga products and meditation products and clothes, comfortable clothes and cushions, but they also post blogs, and they posted my blog there. And the blog is called Standing Strong and Confident in the Wake of Naysayers. Now, I was inspired to write this blog when I had an experience on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago. And actually, as I wrote in this blog, I had been having trouble writing, but when I had this experience, it kind of got me, I was disappointed at this incident on LinkedIn, and it got me writing about it to kind of turn it around. LinkedIn is a professional site, and people tend to post about the work that they're doing. I use it to post blogs and about this radio program and other events that I'm involved with professionally, and commenting on other people's professional posts and networking with people. And it's not supposed to be like other social media where people are kind of becoming divisive and criticizing, but it is starting to become that way. And there was a post that a young woman posted. It was a photograph of herself, and she had bright red hair that she had obviously dyed, not a natural red, but a bright red, and a little nose ring and a tattoo. And she looked fashionable for the age group that she's in. That's the style. And she wrote that this is what a CEO looks like. And she noted that she's CEO of her own vegan food company. Most of the people responded in a very positive way, supporting her. She looked great, and she's obviously very successful. And the way her style of dress is probably similar to many of her customers. And so it works for her. But there were several men that started criticizing the way that she dressed and saying that you can't make it in the business world looking like that and having that style. I was pretty surprised because the fact is that she is successful. She already is a CEO, and she was not posting it to ask for anybody's approval. She was posting it for people to expand their mind and understand that a CEO of a company can look all different ways. There isn't one standard way that a CEO looks. You know, the fashion that they wear. And I decided to support her and say, this is, you know, that's great. You look great. And kind of made a comment about how it was, in supporting her, that it was inappropriate to attack her for how she looked, considering that she was doing pretty well. And I subsequently was attacked. So it got me thinking about critics and how people just don't want to see people succeeding along a path if they're doing something in a way that's different than them. And that's a problem. We need to be open to all different styles and appearances and paths that people take. And so I wrote this blog about how to be able to keep moving forward and continue to spread our compassion and joy and live a passionate life and not let criticism from other people become obstacles, because, you know, they really can become obstacles. When people criticize us, we tend to repeat those criticisms to ourselves. As I said, we can be our own worst critic. And so when somebody else says something negative about us, we can then believe them and say, see, I knew that I, you know, was doing it wrong, or I'm not worthy, or whatever it is that we're saying about ourselves. So, and that is the worst form of obstacle. That is the largest obstacle, very difficult to get around once we start echoing the criticisms of other people to ourselves. So how do we stop ourselves from doing that? So one way is to understand that sometimes people put other people down in order to feel superior. That's just a classic psychological finding. People who don't feel secure in their own path tend to put other people down to make themselves feel better and more superior. And sometimes on social media, even people who don't typically do that out in the world tend to get pulled into the toxic atmosphere, the mob mentality of social media, where they see other people putting someone down, and so they join in. And it gets, and again, get that boost, that inner boost of feeling superior. And standing this doesn't necessarily make it feel any better, but it helps us to remember the sage wisdom of Don Miguel Ruiz, the best-selling author, who said, "Don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. So that's a really important part of this. And it's hard to not take things personally, but when we remember that psychological finding that people put other people down in order to feel superior about themselves, and the social psychological finding of about social media that people get caught up in a mob mentality, even if they wouldn't normally be a put-down artist in person, they become that way on social media, then we can realize that this is not personal. This has something to do with that that thing that that person is caught up in, whether their own need to feel superior or that mob mentality. And I'm going to continue to talk about this issue of not listening to critics and not letting that become an obstacle along our path of passion, because it's a really big obstacle. So I'm going to continue with some of the tips on the next show. All right, so I'm going to stop right here, and we're going to listen to a little music about Mexico and go to our interview with Ruben and Minerva in Bay of Banderas, Mexico.
Flying so high now, shows a man where to fish. Watch Vicente, he lies in his hammock, teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Thunder high in that mountain, watch the clouds rolling in. Senorita, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss, and they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind, but the senoritas, they keep us in time. That part VCT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place, Punta Mita time.
Hola, Ruben and Minerva.
Hola.
How's everyone today? How's it going with the coronavirus?
Well, it's more relaxed than the past month.
Does it seem like it's getting better?
Yes, everything is improving. They have just changed the traffic light to orange, and restaurants and business will begin to close later.
Okay, great. So last week we went to Quimixto. Where are you taking us today?
Mexico City.
Okay.
Mexico City was founded by the conquistadors in 1521 and today has a population of 21,700,000 in a city that is 573 square miles. The city is located in the mountains about 7,300 feet up with cool temperatures all year.
You can follow the steps of the Aztecs at Mildred Brush Stokes of Frida Kahlo experience century-old tradition of the Day of Dead and so much more in Mexico City, with international restaurants, museums, and other exciting sites. You will need to spend at least one whole week here.
The Zocalo or Town Square suffered much damage when the 8.1 earthquake struck Mexico City in 1985. That could be felt as fear as Corpus Christi, Texas. Even parrots lost their way and ended up in the Rio Grande Valley. There were are painful now.
In the south of Mexico City, a network of canals waves through a series of man-made islands in Xochimilco, the so-called Venice of the New World.
Wow, that all sounds wonderful. Stay safe, guys, and adios.
Until next time.
Adios.
Bye.
All right. So, now we're come to the end of another show. And before we go, let me let you know what's happening next week. Next week, October 16th, we'll be back with another live show from Austin, Texas. And we'll be joined by Tim Harrison, founder of the Enjoyable Pain of Growth Academy, EPOG Academy. And he's going to discuss what that academy is about and what is enjoyable about pain and how pain aids in our growth. Tim will also be our guest artist, and he'll perform a piece he's written in spoken word. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show, listen to previous shows, go to my website, drmaricarpel.com, and all those website links that we talked about earlier with Bill will be posted later tonight, and you'll also be able to hear the show again on that post. You can also listen to the show in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts in 5 minutes from now. And be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years. I have some events coming up and blogs and other things that you might be interested in. You'll find it all there. This show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by AmightyGoodTime.com. Thank you to my guests, Bill Davis, and to Minerva and Ruben in Bay of Banderas, and thank you, Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone. Stay safe.
C'est le bon ton roulé, that is what they all say. C'est le bon ton roulé, that is what they all say. C'est le bon ton roulé, that is what they all say. C'est le bon ton roulé, that is what they all say. Et toi?
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.